This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
The season to be outspoken in a jolly sort of way. So a warm hello to all you heretics and iconoclasts. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Fa-la-la-la-la. Lots of free thought in the news this month. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves.
And welcome to Free Thought Radio, your antidote to the religious right.
The show is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the largest organization in the United States of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate.
And we're delighted to say we'll be joined on the second half of our broadcast today by the hilarious and really smart comedian and actress Julia Sweeney. And she's just released her one-woman show into a DVD. The scathingly brilliant Letting Go of God is now out as a movie and just in time for the non-holy days celebrated by us freethinkers as the winter solstice.
So keep listening. Later in the show, we're going to air a little excerpt or two from the Letting Go of God movie.
As a teaser, and we reported last week, you'd think all hell was breaking out because it has come to the attention of the news media, particularly Fox TV, that there are actually, gasp, atheists and unbelievers living in America in December. Must be a crime. And we have some things to say this time of year, too. Dan, why don't you recap briefly what the Freedom From Religion Foundation was doing in Olympia, Washington, about a week ago, December 1st, that brought all of this on?
December 1st, we erected our Free Thought sign at the season of the winter solstice, May Reason Prevail, with some criticism of religion, alongside a nativity scene. The second time that one of our signs has been inside a state capitol building.
And we did this at the behest of an 80-year-old lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation who was appalled, as we were, that a nativity display was going in a state capitol. What is a nativity display doing in a state capitol? And they said, well, it's a public forum. So we said, okay, then let us put up our views. And the sign also reads, there are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. It says it begins at this reason of the winter, at the season of the winter solstice, let reason prevail.
And we thought there would be some controversy, but we were not prepared for the firestorm. There was some local coverage, of course, and some disagreement. But when Bill O'Reilly went on Fox News, went on the Fox station and just for three nights in a row railed against us. We played part
it was
of
really
it last.
Five nights in a row and going on this week too.
And we played some of that last week.
He doesn't get it deliberately, and people don't get it that this is a state church challenge. This is a legal issue. We do not think there should be religion or irreligion in any state capital. But if there is going to be a nativity display and religion, then we'll be there too. And so, Dan, you did a very brave thing. You did an interview about this on the national Fox TV News opposite that conservative blowhard, Catholic conservative William Donahue. So let's listen to that clip.
The controversial sign just steps from the nativity scene inside the Washington State Capitol. It says in part, first talks about the winter solstice, and then says that religion is, quote, myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. Is this free speech or an attack on religion? Dan Barker is the co-president of Freedom From Religion Foundation. His group put up the sign. And Bill Donahue is president of the Catholic League. He joins us live here in D.C. All right, Dan, thanks very much for joining us. Why'd you put up the sign next to the nativity scene?
That part of the Capitol is a public forum where all points of view are welcome within the state. And we atheists and agnostics love this time of year. The food, the family, the fun, the music, the fellowship. It's a natural season that belongs to all of us, not just to Christians. Christians came along and basically stole this time of year,
really?
Pretending that the evergreen... the pagan celebrations long before Christianity had the evergreen and the gifts and the love and the family. So December does not belong just to Christians. We, millions of good Americans, who do not believe in a God, we see the nativity scene as a direct attack on good human values, and we would like our place at the table as well.
All right, Dan, thank you very much. Bill Donahue, they're crashing your December party.
Right. Look, the First Amendment is conditioned on time, place, and manner. There's a time and a place for everything. If they want to have their hate speech, they should be allowed to have it on public property, but at some other time of the year, maybe in July. This is designed to neuter our message, and that's why, for example, in the St. Patrick's Day Parade, you can't have people coming in there trying to veto that message. That was settled in the courts. So what this is involved is hate speech.
Hey, Dan, let me ask you about this. You talk about the month of December, that atheists love it because of the food and the atmosphere and everything else. Of course, most of that comes from the Christian holiday of Christmas on the 25th. Christmas is a federal holiday. If atheists want their own federal holiday, sir, go to Congress.
Well, Christmas is only a federal holiday on December 25th. That's only one day of the year. The rest of the month of December belongs to all of us.
If you want a holiday, Dan, go get one from Congress.
Well, we have a holiday before even this country started. This time of year is the winter solstice. It's a natural season. The Christians basically stole this season from us human beings by using the hate speech of the nativity scene, which damns all of us to hell if we don't bow down before that little baby who became the dictator. What a horrible insult to what it means to be a human being.
You're insulting a huge portion of America with talk like that.
Yeah, in your sign, it says that there's no such thing as the devil. After listening to you this morning, fella, I think you ought to mend your own damn sign.
All right. Dan Barker, who is the co-president of Freedom from Religion Foundation, and Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League. Guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, gee, Dan, I guess that was a compliment.
I didn't have horns, did I? I was on another Fox TV show by phone, and I happened to mention that they asked, what's it like in Madison? I said, well, I was just shoveling snow this morning, and I got an email a few minutes later from somebody who saw that show. Emailed to Dan Barker, I hear on your interview with Fox News that you are shoveling snow today. I kind of doubt that, but if you are, please keep it up and work up a good sweat. Hopefully a rude, hateful, God-hating son of a bitch like you will have a fatal heart attack here soon. One can only hope. Have a Merry Christmas, you piece of
Okay, that's enough. And that's just, I mean, there's stuff that's a lot more obscene than that we've been getting, but that one was pretty mean-spirited. And of course, as we said, Bill O'Reilly rants and rants about the war on Christmas. And so not surprisingly, there was some foul play. And we had our sign at the Washington State Capitol, an insert, the golden part of it. This is a very expensive sign, and there's inserts on both sides. And the other side says state should keep them separate. But the insert in this golden display was stolen on December 5th. And it was quite, there was just blow-by-blow accounts from the media over the course of the day. And where did they find it?
Well, somebody said they found it in a ditch way up in Seattle, which is a couple hours away.
And it was right conveniently next to one of the radio stations that had been attacking our sign all day, so they got a lot of PR. And the state troopers, again, we got blow-by-blow accounts, drove over there and got it back, and it was slightly bent, but it's back in place. But in the meantime, your brother, Denver Barker, who lives in the area, was brave enough to
put up a temporary sign,
and then he put a great big "Thou shalt not steal" on the front of it, because it did appear that at least one believer doesn't follow his own commandments. And there were a lot of pictures of him with that sign.
But this is a story that just keeps on giving. The gift that keeps on giving. The following Sunday, then more than 400 Christians came out to the Capitol and had a big rally protesting our sign in Olympia, Washington.
An atheist sign at the Washington State Capitol drew hundreds of protesters today. Those demonstrators rallied outside the Capitol. They're upset over a sign inside that reads, "Religion is but a myth and superstition." It's on display with Christmas decorations. Organizers pleaded with the crowd to keep the message positive. Today's protest included a sign portraying Governor Christine Gregoire as the Grinch and a balloon featuring Bill O'Reilly punching the governor.
The message of Jesus Christ was heard. And
would Jesus want Bill O'Reilly to knock out the governor?
That's spiritually. He's knocking the sense of God into her.
A group of atheists held a counter-protest across the street.
And this was really kind of scary. I got Denver, my brother-in-law, phoned and let us hear the crowd. It was ugly at some point, screaming. And there were signs saying repent and talking about sin. And it really looked like something more out of Dayton, Tennessee, circa 1925 than Olympia, Washington, 2008.
And there's other signs now next to ours. And there's one that says the atheist says in his heart, the atheist says there's no God. He's a fool. And here's a little more from a Seattle KOMO-TV reporting on the story.
Controversy over an atheist display comes to a head at our state capitol.
Hundreds rallied there with one message for those who oppose religion. Leave Christmas alone. KOMO 4's Nicole Sanchez was there for the rally, and she's live from the state capitol tonight. Nicole?
Yeah, Casey, it is a hot topic that has sparked national debate. Organizers of today's pro-faith rally here at the capitol say they support free speech, but they do not support hateful speech.
Today we can unite and stand up for faith.
Outside the state capitol, hundreds of people gathered today to rally in support of faith and against this winter solstice sign put up by an atheist group. The sign says there are no gods and that religion is myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds.
God loves everybody, and that we just want to be able to have our display without it being disparaged.
They're certainly entitled to say whatever they want to say, but Christmas is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T, and so it's clearly about Christ.
Religious groups have asked Governor Christine Gregoire to remove the sign, but she has said that if one religious display is allowed, then all viewpoints must also be allowed.
If there's going to be one, there has to be all of them, and personally, I think there should be none because there's a separation of church and state.
The sign was stolen last week and was dropped off at a Seattle radio station. It was returned and is now back up next to four additional signs made in response to the original atheist sign. Now, there is talk of a Festivus display also being added here at the Capitol. That is the holiday made famous, of course, by the sitcom Seinfeld. Look for that later this week. Reporting live in Olympia, Nicole Sanchez, KOMO 4 News.
Thanks, Nicole.
I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're talking about our winter solstice sign at the Olympia Capitol. We'll be right back after the break to hear a little bit of Annie Laurie on national CNN headline news talking about this issue.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. It ain't necessarily so.
I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We've been talking about our secular sign at the Washington State Capitol, just like the one we've had here in the Wisconsin Capitol for 13 years, and a brand new one that went up this month in Springfield, Illinois, the capital of Illinois. And Annie Laurie, you were on national CNN headline news earlier this week. Here's a little bit of that 10-minute segment that ran.
An atheist group is attacking people of faith at the Washington State Capitol, no less. They plastered a sign right next to a nativity scene that insults religion and attacks people's beliefs. Here's what the sign says. At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. Symbol to show atheist beliefs, that's one thing. But to blatantly attack people of faith during an important holiday, that is crossing the line, if you ask me. Joining us to talk about this, the president of Freedom From Religion Foundation, Annie Laurie Gaylor. Annie, my humble opinion, this is hate speech right next to a nativity scene.
Oh,
how do you defend
it? Come on.
It is. You're blasting anybody
Bill
of faith.
O'Reilly,
blasting them. And I'm upset with the governor for doing this, but go ahead.
Well, the person that you should be upset with is actually it's the religious right group that sued the state of Washington to place a manger scene inappropriately in the state capitol. And the state of Washington created a public forum. Therefore, there has to be space for those of us who are non-religious at this time of year. And we challenge the public forum. We don't think there should be religion or irreligion at the core government building of the state of Washington. We also have a display in Wisconsin.
Right.
Because this is creating divisiveness. But
why
if there's
the insult?
Going
you're
to be
creating the divisiveness
scene,
with the you're the creating the divisiveness with the insulting nature of the sign. Why? I mean,
no,
the nativity scene is a benign symbol. go ahead.
I've never seen a nativity display that didn't offend my aesthetics, but when you look at the theology behind it, the nativity scene says that we are depraved sinners who need a savior to redeem us.
Well, it doesn't say that verbally.
It's just a nativity scene. Our sins. And if we don't believe that, we will be punished with hell everlastingly. That is the message.
Isn't that your goal, just to silence Christianity in the public square? Isn't that your goal?
You can put a nativity display in your lawn, in churches. We're not trying to outlaw nativity displays. We're not putting our atheist sign at church lawns. We are saying that if the government is going to put up a nativity display and create a public forum for religion in a state capital, then the views of non-religious must also be represented. If you don't like our display, then stop the public forum.
Which is your end goal. You want everything out. That means people of faith have to be shoved into the closet. That's your goal, right?
They cut you off right there, Annie Laurie, but you came back fighting in spite of the fact that they kept interrupting you and talking over you. So here's Annie Laurie's final word.
Our agenda is to keep state and church separate. And if there's going to be religion at a state capital, then there needs to be irreligion. And all we say is the truth. There are no gods. There are no devils. And that's liberating. Shouldn't we be glad? We don't
have
to.
Annie, we've got to run.
So, and we've just gotten terrific approval and support. New members coming in from the Pacific Northwest and people emailing us. Finally, there's some action. They're so glad we're raising O'Reilly's blood pressure. It's extremely refreshing. Keep up the necessary fight. And now we've promised you we're going to be speaking with the wonderful Julia Sweeney, the comedian whose new movie, Letting Go of God, has just come out. It's the perfect gift for the freethinker on your list. Very funny. So stay tuned during this longer break to hear comedian Julia Sweeney talk about why she left Catholicism and became an atheist.
I'm State Senator Ernie Chambers from Nebraska. I'm on Free Thought Radio, which is like an oasis in the Sahara Desert.
Listening to Free Thought Radio.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. Something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo of letting go of God. Letting go of God.
I'm Annie Laurie Giller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio.
And that's Jill Sobule singing the song. She wrote the theme song for Julia Sweeney's new movie, Letting Go of God. And I got to tell you, that music is almost a religious experience when you hear that going. We're really pleased to have on the phone with us today Julia Sweeney herself. Did you know that she first went to Hollywood not as an actor, but she went as an accountant? She got her start in comedy with The Groundlings. She stayed on that on the Saturday Night Live show for four hit seasons, made a movie about her unforgettable character, It's Pat. She earned a Golden Space Needle Award, the New York Film Festival Audience Award for her film, God Said Ha. And you've seen Julia in the movie Pulp Fiction, other TV shows. She played a nun who had breast cancer on the HBO series Sex in the City. And she was in feature films Clock Stoppers, Whatever It Takes, Stuart Little, Thick as Thieves, Beethoven's Third, and Don't Come Knockin', among others. Her newest one-woman show is called Letting Go of God. It first opened in 2004, and now it just came out as a movie. The perfect holiday gift, I think, for the listeners of our show. So welcome to the show, Julia.
Well, thank you for having me.
What a pleasure to have you back on again.
Oh, well, thanks.
Do you feel the same way I do about that music?
I love it so much. I love that song. We're trying to... Jill wants to do a music video for it, and we're going to, in the new year, I'm going to start sending it around and trying to get it some play That'd on be the radio
fun.
And stuff.
So do you want some like hunky male dancers in the background maybe?
Well, we had this idea that it would start with Jill in a church, and then she would get up and start running out of the church while she sings, and then people would follow her, and as she walked past other churches around downtown L.A., more people would be coming out of the churches and following her.
In the masses.
Yeah,
the masses.
Kind of like a Pied Piper kind of thing.
Sounds cute.
Yeah.
Do it.
I know. Well, we have to get the money to do it and the time to do it, but we want to do it.
Well, I'm holding in my hands here the DVD, Julia Sweeney, Letting Go of God. Breaking up is hard to do. And This American Life, Ira Glass said, somehow, against all common sense, Julia is making something funny that has no business being funny. And I've seen your show a number of times, and as you've told us in the past, the reaction is generally positive, even from believers who come to the show.
Yeah, I feel, you know, pretty proud. I do feel proud about that, because I think you can't be mad at somebody who's sincere, you know, I don't think. And so usually if I get bad responses from people who are angry at me, it's because they haven't seen my show. And my feeling is, if they do see my show, they understand that I really take it seriously. It's a sincere search, and I went where the facts led me, which I, you know, see that there isn't very much evidence for God. And I don't see how, and it seems like people aren't upset about it. Like, they just think, well, I might disagree with you, but
it's
not
hard,
mad at me.
It's hard to be angry when you're laughing so hard.
Yeah, keep them
well,
laughing.
Like my aunt, who's a very devout Catholic, she said, you know, seeing your show made me understand how people could not believe in God. Like, she couldn't even understand how somebody could not believe in God before. And I didn't change her mind about God, but she is sympathetic to the point of view.
So
I feel proud about that. Like, that's a good thing.
And you changed her mind about freethinkers.
Yeah, exactly. I changed her mind about freethinkers. And, you know, she's somebody who lives in Seattle, a really urban environment, and most of her friends don't believe in God. And she just never could understand how they could not believe in God. So,
well, they're getting a lot from our sign at the Capitol.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited about that.
People coming
well, you're
up.
From, yeah, you're from
Yeah,
the
I'm from
state.
Spokane.
So, well, we're glad to be there in the Capitol. At least currently it hasn't been stolen again.
I know. That's good. Good for you guys. You guys do the best work.
Well, thank you. Now, speaking of best, I can't believe that there aren't an awful lot of people who haven't had their minds changed if they've been exposed to your one-woman show, Letting Go of God, because it's so thorough.
Oh,
I mean,
thanks.
It's not spoon-feeding, but you make it so accessible, the philosophical break with religion, and you also make accessible science. And I guess we have an excerpt of we want to play an excerpt from Letting Go of God that's about, well, it's sort of about creationism. Should we listen to that now?
Let's listen. Okay. It's about 3 minutes, I think.
Okay.
I was dating a guy at this time who was a big believer in intelligent design. Intelligent design is this idea that the world is so complex, especially the conscious, feeling, thinking human being, who is so complicated that it just couldn't have happened by chance. Someone or something had to have a hand in creating us, and that someone or something is God. The watch requires a watchmaker. Well, one morning, my intelligent designer boyfriend and I were waking up, and he glanced at the books on my side of the bed, which were becoming increasingly more biological rather than religious. And then we gazed into each other's eyes, deeper than ever before. It's the human eye, you know, he said. That's the proof there must have been a designer. You can't have half an eye. Half an eye is no good at all. Either you have an eye so you can see, or you don't. How could you possibly evolve an eye? Yes, I said, that's probably true. The eye is very complex. After all, it's the window into the soul. So I began to read about eyes. I learned a lot more than I ever dreamed about eyes. Turns out, from an evolutionary perspective, the human eye is perfectly explainable. What began as a patch of skin, more sensitive to light than other skin, offers some advantage. Those that have it live, those that don't do not. Turns out half an eye actually is pretty valuable. About half as valuable. Now, if an intelligent designer or God designed our eyes, well, he would not actually get such a very good grade because he put the blood vessels and nerves that carry all the visual information to our brain on top of our retina. Imagine, that's like putting all the wiring of a video camera on top of the lens. And where the blood vessels and nerves go through our retina into our brain, it causes us all to have this blind spot that we compensate for by basically hallucinating, which is bad, 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 not a good design for an eye. And it doesn't really have to be that way. Octopus and squid, they evolved their eyes separately from us, and they don't have those annoying features. The wonderful biologist Massimo Piliucci, he wrote, "The only possible conclusions that we can come to from this evidence are that God didn't design the eye, or he did, and he's pretty sloppy and not worthy of our unconditional admiration, or God likes squids a lot better than humans." Design gets everything backwards. It's like saying that our hands are miraculous because they fit so perfectly into our gloves. Look at that! Four fingers and a thumb. Now that can't have been an accident. My old cat Rita lumbered onto my lap while I was reading about eyes. She was about 15 years old then and had gotten too tired and bothered to go through the entire meow. She just started going, meow. We looked each other in the eye. Instead of noticing the differences, I actually noticed the similarities. We inherited our eyes from our common ancestor, who probably lived around 100 million years ago. Our eyes are forward on our skull because we are hunters. Except, well, Rita wasn't much of a hunter. And I realized neither was I. Not if I was dating a guy who was so into intelligent design. Rita meowed at me like, "Oh, who needs to hunt when I have domestic help?"
And the whole movie is filled with those kind of laughs. That was like kind of in the middle of the story, Julia. But you started off as a real strong believer in the beginning.
Well, you know, in some ways it's been very hard to describe to people my belief because before I went on my journey because, you know, I didn't want to overplay it. I wouldn't say I was a devout Catholic. I mean, I still had a sort of healthy cynicism about it. I saw what was funny about the Catholic Church. But I did have a kind of new agey overlay of belief on top of it. So I thought my culture is Catholic, but I don't know if I believe all those stories, but I still believe I have a destiny and God's watching me and all that kind of stuff. It was more like that.
So, and your parents really struggled. It was really fun toward the end of the movie where you talked about how your mom, what did your mom say about it? It's okay if you don't want to believe in God.
Oh, she just didn't want me to stop going to church.
Yeah.
Which I think is more than just a joke. I mean, it's my opinion now that most of the people who go to church don't believe either. It's just sort of this collusion of culture, you know, like everyone has to pretend to believe in order to keep the community rituals going.
And not embarrass the family.
Yeah, yeah. Like I really, you know, I was so sincere at the time that I was completely shocked by the fact that my parents cared more about the fact that I went to church than that I actually believed it. Because I kept thinking, well, aren't you more scared for my immortal soul if that's something you believe in than what your friends think, which is such a temporary thing? But now I feel like I understand psychology better and I'm older and understand things better. And I think, well, of course, it really is all about the community and everybody agreeing on this, you know, this lie, really, that that has some benefit because it causes the community to be organized in the church and all that kind of stuff. So now that makes sense to me. At the time, it was completely shocking that she would have that response.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker, and we're talking with comedian Julia Sweeney about her new movie, Letting Go of God, and we'll be right back.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you.
Welcome back to the conclusion of Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Geller. And today we're speaking with Julia Sweeney, the comedian and actress, about her new movie, which was a play. It's now a movie on DVD. It's available just in time for the holiday gift-giving season. Yeah. How am I doing, Julia?
very good. Although I was going to say, order it from you guys.
Yeah.
Because on Amazon, they're taking. It says on Amazon it takes 3 to 4 weeks to get it because I can't keep them supplied enough.
Oh, we are in supply at FFRF.org, and those orders got the day we received them.
And the movie is called Letting Go of God.
Yes.
Now, so they're flying off the shelves, you're telling us.
Yes,
and
they are.
And what about Showtime?
Well, I sold the movie to Showtime. They get to play it for 1 year, as much as they want. And we're still in the middle of finishing up the contract, which is taking longer than I thought. So I thought it was going to be just the whole year of 2009 they could play it. And they were going to have a premiere of it during prime time and promote it and everything. But now I'm thinking it's going to be later in 2009. It might even be like May or something like that. So I'm actually kind of holding back because as part of my contract, I was allowed to sell the DVD in advance. But as long as it's a low-key kind of thing.
So you're not advertising. You said you haven't done one single ad yet.
I haven't even sent out an announcement to the people who signed up for my newsletter on my website.
And well, I mean, this
I
has
am going to do that, though. I'm hoping to do that by the end of the week.
So this has been in demand and long awaited for 4 years.
Do we have something kind of like an exclusive on this or something, or almost?
Well, you and Skeptic.
Ah, okay.
So we have
Skeptic.com.
And then you were saying that you're going to release it in other countries?
Well, as part of the deal with Showtime, I have to have what's called closed captioning. So that's like when you turn the sound off, you see the words. So, and also for people who are deaf, they can read it. And I was in the middle of learning about this, and I found out that, you know, once you get it translated into English and you have those, you know, the lines up there, then you can really do any other language for a few thousand dollars more. And I got so excited, of course, I wrote down like 10 languages I wanted it to be translated into. But I think I'm going to do...
Catholic countries.
Catholic countries. Well, I've had several requests from people in Brazil for Portuguese and for Spanish, too.
Well, there you go.
And then I was thinking French, and then I was thinking Mandarin. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And what was Mike's suggestion?
Michael's suggestion was to get it translated into Latin.
Michael.
When I asked the woman who I've been working with on it if they did Latin, she laughed. No, we don't do Latin. I said, I guess I'll have to find a priest, you know, a Latinist.
Well, that would be very fitting.
And Mike is your new husband, by the way, we should point
yes.
out. Michael.
He got married in May.
And he lives in Chicago, and you're
now
in...
Now I'm moving to Chicago.
So welcome to the land of ice and snow.
He keeps calling me and telling me how he's... you know, scraping the ice off his front windshield, and I'm deciding whether to go for a swim or not in Los Angeles.
Well, in a couple of weeks, you can help him scrape and shovel.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today. It's so well. Like right now, at this very second, I'm sitting in my backyard office. I'm looking in my lovely backyard. It's so sunny and brilliant. It's a little windy today, but it's very nice out. And 2 weeks from today, I will be in my home in Wilmette, and it will be cold.
Well, but cozy.
But cozy. I'm actually, so Michael's very worried that I'm not going to like it. I know what it's like to live in cold weather, and I actually love cold weather. So
it's a good excuse for hot chocolate.
That's what I told him. That's the exact thing I said last night. He goes, when you think of cold weather, I go, I think of hot chocolate by the fire.
Well, you'll be closer to us then, too, here in Madison.
I know. I'm going to start driving you guys crazy because I'm going to come up there.
You can come up and help us stuff envelopes. Or you can answer some of the nut mail we get from people.
Oh, how's I that? Can't even. Oh, my God. I would love to spend a day going through that. That would be fun.
I've got it all on my computer. Now, are you working on something else? I don't like to go off the topic. But
yes, I'm actually am. Well, I've been struggling to finish the book based on this show, which I think I'm going to concentrate on when I move. Although I have a book before that I'm interested in writing about. It's like 10 things that science tells us about ourselves that are useful. You know, just like how bad we are at probabilities and those kinds of things. Like, I'm just interested in that, you know, sort of cross between self-help and pop science. So I'm going to try my hand at that. And
then you're going to turn your play into a book.
And then I'm going to turn my play into a book, which I've written hundreds of pages of, and I just... It's taking a long
have
time.
Have to finish.
And then in the meantime, in show business, I'm doing the voice of a character on this new Mike Judge show called The Good Family. It's an animated show that premieres on ABC in March.
Oh.
And it's about a family that's trying to be super eco-friendly and responsible, and it's funny.
That sounds cute.
Yeah.
And you're one of the voices.
I'm the voice of Margo, yes.
Wow, well, that'll be fun
to
watch.
Well, we'll look for that.
Yeah.
So let's plug the DVD before we go
ahead. Oh, yeah. Okay. So the DVD, there's all, you know, there's audience interviews on the DVD that we did on the day of filming that are so moving. Like people, that's just so nice. We edited those together. There's the trailer on there. There's a little question and answer with me and the film.
And there's a great letting go of God. We've been talking with Julia Sweeney, the comedian, the actress, about her wonderful one-woman show, Letting Go of God, now out as a movie.
Can I say one more thing? If you go to my website, juliasweeney.com, and you go to the Letting Go of God page, you can download the song for free, the Letting Go of God song. So.
Well, thank you, Julia, for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
It's always scathingly brilliant when you're on the show. You can listen to all of our shows at ffrf.org/radio or sign up for the podcast.
And join FFRF. Ask for more information at ffrf.org. The December Free Thought today will carry all kinds of information about our solstice sign, and we want to thank very warmly Julia Sweeney for joining us today and you for listening. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.